John Newton's well-known hymn says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." When we have been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we have first begun. And let's all stand and join in singing number 33. "And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood?"
Stay. great hymn, isn't it? Let's seek the Lord in prayer. O God, our loving Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence, we thank you indeed for these words that we have been singing, these words of bondage leading to liberation and freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. And O God, that is the picture the Bible gives of us, that we are enslaved by sin. How even the exodus from Egypt by the children of Israel, how it was put to them that they were set free from the house of bondage, how living in that country was living in a house of bondage, but they were brought out of that bondage and they were led to the land of Canaan, which was the land of freedom. And we thank you that this is a picture of life, how we are in bondage to sin and to Satan, but how we thank you that Jesus came to set us free. And in order to know that freedom, how we must turn from our sins, how we must trust Christ as our Savior, how we must live the Christian life. And we will be able to say, like Charles Wesley, no condemnation now I dread. Set free. Experiencing the words of Jesus, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so, God, bless your word among us today. We thank you that you're the God who is sovereign, who overrules all things. There are things that happen locally and nationally and internationally that baffle us. But, oh God, your word tells us at the same time that you're in control of all things. We don't need to understand all things. We just need to know that you're in control of all things, and you will bring out of things your own glory and your own purpose and will and the furtherance of your own kingdom. And Lord, you look upon our hearts individually. You see our hearts this morning. You see all our doubts and fears and our thoughts about these things, about the things of God. You know those who are saved, those who are not saved. You know those who have slidden back. You know those who have desires to press on. And we pray that we will all be like that, that we shall all have desires to press on and to know you more, to grow in the knowledge of God. And so meet with us this morning, Lord. Bless those listening in to us again via the internet. Bless them, each one. We thank you for these means that your word can go out there into cyberspace and reach many with the gospel right around the world. We thank you for all of these ways and means. Bless your word today, we pray, to all hearts. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray these things. Amen. Let's read for the last time from Luke chapter 18. And as I've done over the several years, just take a chapter of a book and just work through that chapter. And this is our sixth and last look at one of the scenes in Luke chapter 18. And again, it's the well-known account of the healing of the man named Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, as he is commonly known. Verse 35. Then it happened that as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, What do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts. We're going to sing number 162, 162. From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled. Welcome to all this morning. Let me leave you with the following announcements. At 6:10, our time of prayer before our evening service when IDV will continue our studies in looking at the Beatitudes. And then at 8:00, the meeting of the Pathfinders. Tuesday night at 8:00, the prayer meeting and Bible study. And a very important meeting in the life of any church is the prayer meeting. And all Christians should be at the prayer meeting. If you have nothing else to do on a Tuesday night, you should be out. And so, hope to see an increase in numbers from Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. And then the kids' club has now finished until September. So the next event in the church here will be the wedding of Lisa Thompson and Russell McBride, 12:30 on Saturday. And so it's nice to see them here. And we look, and then on Saturday they'll be here. And so we trust them God's blessing. And I'm sure that there'll be some will come along to see that. So 12:30 on Saturday. Next Sunday at 10:15, the Sunday school and Bible class, and then the morning service, 11:30, when I will be the speaker. 10 past 6, our time of prayer. And we want to continue our outreach services the last Sunday of each month. And so this will be the last outreach service until September time. And Mr. Bobby Brown, who is the General Secretary of the Belfast City Mission, will be coming along to give his testimony. Bobby was a colleague of mine over 20 years ago in the City Mission. He's now the Secretary, and he has a tremendous testimony of how the Lord saved him. And so it's an opportunity to invite someone along to this service, and then there's always a cup of tea and a biscuit afterwards. So that's next Sunday night. Wednesday week is the 1st of May, and that will be the Good Company outing. And we're going to Dobby's Garden Centre just outside Lisburn for morning coffee and scones or whatever, and then up into Lisburn. And ladies, the bus is booked, and we leave at 9:30, and we'll be back around between 3 and 3:30 on that Wednesday, the 1st of May. And so there's a sheet on the vestibule table. Would you please put your name down if you hope to go? And also there's literature there. There's the latest issue of Congregational Concern from EFCC. Please take one of those home with you, please. As a church, we support Victor and Marie Watson, who is with the European Christian Mission. And if you want to give any gift to them and their support, please pass that on to Jim Scott. These are all the announcements, and we'll bring to the Lord our offerings. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. Saviour, Saviour, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Lord, we may say that as individuals, because Lord, we have been made in your image. You have given us an identity. You have given us an existence. We are bodies. An indwelling is an immortal soul. And what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Just this morning on the radio, Lord, in the news, mentioning the Britain's richest, those who have billions, not millions, but billions. And yet if they have not you, they have nothing. If they're not saved, they have nothing. We read of a rich man in Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus, and we do not know how rich he was, but he was rich. But yet we read that he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, being in hell. He had nothing at the end of his life. Whereas Lazarus the beggar had nothing in this life, but he was rich in the next. Rich in Christ. How he was in heaven. How his soul was saved. How it was well with his soul. And so, God, may we say this as individuals, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. May we say this as a church, while on other churches thou art calling, do not pass us by. Let us know a measure of your blessing, an awareness of your presence, O God. And bless your work and witness here. Do bless this week, Lord. Do bless the meetings. Do bless the wedding of Lisa and Russell. And we just pray that as life is going on and as we're getting older and as our young people are at different stages of education, maybe some leaving school and heading to university, again, Lord, we just pray that you will bless each one in all of these things. Again, we pray for them that they will trust in the Lord with all their heart. They will not lean on their own understanding, but in all their ways, they will acknowledge you. And you shall direct their paths. And may they know that when they're away from home, they may be away from the sight of their parents and family, but they're not away from your sight. You can see them. You see every action. You hear every word. You know every thought. And so may there be this fear of God, no matter where we are in the world. May we have this fear of God. As your word says, may we live in the fear of God all the day long. And so, Father, bless those of our fellowship who are unwell at the present time, those in hospital. Again, Lord, just draw near. For some, it's anxious days. For families, it's an anxious time. And so just draw near unto each one, and may they know your peace at this time. Those who recently mourn, again, we pray that they will be knowing your continual comfort. So bless us now, we pray, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name, these things. Amen. Number 272, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Again, just like the rich young ruler that's mentioned in this chapter, this blind man, Bartimaeus, is one of the best known characters whom Jesus met, one of the best known miracles that Jesus did in giving this man his sight. Luke chapter 18, and it's also recorded for us with variations in Matthew chapter 20 and Mark chapter 10. And it's interesting that Matthew mentions two blind men receiving their sight, whereas Mark and Luke only mention one. And according to Matthew and Mark, the miracle occurred as Jesus was leaving Jericho, whereas Luke says it happened as he entered Jericho. Verse 35, as he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. So how do you sort of reconcile these things? Bishop J.C. Ryle says this, that the blind man began crying to our Lord as he was approaching Jericho, but was not healed until our Lord was leaving Jericho and was accompanied by the second blind man at the time of his healing, though he was alone when he first cried. So that might be how we are to reconcile that. It's interesting that it's only Mark who names him. Luke doesn't name him, but Mark does. And it's because Mark names him that we know his name, or he would just have been a blind man. But he is known as blind Bartimaeus. And the first thing that we can see in a simple outline, the affliction that he had, he was blind. And of course, being blind, he didn't have any employment. He was not only blind Bartimaeus, but he was begging Bartimaeus. He was a beggar. This man had nothing. Mark 10, verse 46, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar. And with the two combined, there were many beggars, but beggars who could see. There were beggars who were lame, like Acts chapter 3. A man who was a beggar, but he couldn't walk. But here we have a beggar who was blind, who couldn't see. And it was an awful affliction to have, to be blind, but also compounding that to also be a beggar. But there's nothing else that he could do. We don't know what age Bartimaeus was. We don't even know if he had been blind from birth. But for years, and maybe most of his life, he had known just to make his way. Maybe someone brought him early morning, left him at the side of the road to beg. He was in Jericho, and people were making their way, as Jesus was. Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem. It was near the end of his life. It was near the cross. And many pilgrims would have been heading up to Jerusalem through Jericho for the feasts, and so sitting by the roadside, people were in good mood as they were heading up to Jerusalem, and so they would have given beggars. Bartimaeus would not have been the only beggar. But because he was blind, maybe more pity was directed towards him than others. What an affliction he had. But you know something, the Bible talks about not just physical blindness, but spiritual blindness. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. And if you're not a Christian this morning, it's because you're blind. To keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You might look upon a person, they might have some kind of an affliction, and pity might go out towards that person. You might see a blind person and wonder what it's like. And we know those who've been blind from birth. And I think it would be worse to have your sight and then to be totally blinded. There are soldiers coming home from Afghanistan and Iraq who have lost their sight. Totally blinded. Some of them can't live with that, because they had their sight and now they don't have it. And they're dependent upon everyone. But my friend, it's an awful affliction to have a blind mind. Because the Bible just doesn't talk about physical eyes, it talks about spiritual eyes. Ephesians 1 and verse 18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, or the eyes of your understanding. So there it talks about eyes somewhere else, not just in your head. The eyes of your heart, the eyes of your mind. And this is where you need sight. There are those who are physically blind, but they can see spiritually. They can see with the eyes of their mind. They have seen their need of Jesus Christ. They have seen that they are sinners and they need His forgiveness and salvation. They can see spiritually, but they're blind physically. There are those who can see physically, but they're blind spiritually. Can't see their need of Christ. And if you are blind this morning spiritually, may you have the earnestness of a Bartimaeus. Verse 38 says, and he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Very like what we read earlier on in the chapter in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The tax collector crying out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Bartimaeus is crying out the same thing. Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more. Here's a man who wanted Jesus to intervene in his life. And right from that moment, he had opposition. And if you express any interest at all in becoming a Christian, there will be those who will oppose you. And you have to be ready for that, and you have to expect that. There will be those who will say, look, catch yourself on. And they will oppose you right from the start. Bartimaeus was opposed right from the start. Verse 41, it says that when Bartimaeus was brought to Jesus, Jesus asked him the question, what do you want me to do for you? I think the Lord Jesus is still asking that question. Is the Lord drawing near to someone this morning and he's saying to you, what do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus' response was, Lord, let me recover my sight. Give me my sight. Let me see. Jesus still asks that question. What do you want me to do for you? Is he asking that to someone this morning? So the affliction that he had, he was physically blind. And we can apply today to those who are spiritually blind. And the Lord is saying, what do you want me to do for you? And you say the words of Bartimaeus, give me my sight. Let me spiritually see. We see the affliction that he had. We see the opportunity that he seized. Here is Bartimaeus sitting by the roadside begging. And like all physically blind people, their hearing can be very attuned. They can hear sounds. And I think he must have been just like this. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The opportunity that he seized, because as it only tells us in the Gospels that Jesus was only once in Jericho. He wasn't several times in Jericho the way he was in Jerusalem and Capernaum and so on. He was only once in Jericho. And verse 35 says, as he drew near to Jericho, and chapter 19 and verse 1 says, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And who else did he meet? And it's only recorded for us by Luke. In Luke 19, verses 1 to 10, but the little man, Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was another one who seized the opportunity, who took the opportunity. So different from Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was blind. Zacchaeus could see. Bartimaeus was a beggar. Zacchaeus was illegitimately rich because he was a chief tax collector. So different their lives. But they had the same need. They needed spiritual sight. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. What a text that is for a sermon. Luke 18, verse 37, they told him Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He's not going to be passing by this way again. He's not going to be passing by Jericho again. This is the opportunity. He's passing by today. When you apply that to churches, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. There can be times of blessing for a church. The Lord comes into a church and blesses and revives and spiritually awakens because he has passed by. And even for individuals, it can be applied to individuals. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He's blessing others. Have you got that desire to be blessed as well? He's passing by. And for districts and the countryside, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Ma, it's 4 years ago that we marked the 150th anniversary of the 1859 revival. And how I spent about 3 Sunday nights in June, July, just outlining different things that happened. What a time it was, because Jesus passed by in 1859. How we would love him to pass by again. When do we know that he's passing by? Someone has said this. Wherever Christ is preached, we may make the announcement that the Savior is passing by. Will you endeavor to realize that, O sinner? The Bible is put into your hands to tell you that Jesus is passing by. The Lord's Day dawns to repeat the glad announcement. The church bells ring out upon the sky to renew the declaration. People making their way to church, the service, the preacher with his message, all declare the same thing to you. Jesus is passing by. He who can forgive your sins and renew your souls, he who can keep you safe from every snare and every evil work, he who can give you peace and happiness and holiness on earth and everlasting glory in heaven is passing by. If the soul of Bartimaeus was stirred to its depths by the hope of obtaining natural sight, will not you be moved by such an opportunity of obtaining spiritual salvation, to rise at once to embrace it? Here is the gospel to you in a phrase: Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. I've no doubt that there have been times when the Lord has impressed your heart more than other times. Those are opportunities to be seized, not to let the opportunity pass you by. Isaiah 55 and 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Does that suggest that there's a time coming when he will not be found? Call upon him while he is near. Does that suggest that there could be a time when he will not be near? That the desire's not there anymore? Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. I've no doubt that Bartimaeus had heard of Jesus. He knew who he was, and he cried out, Jesus, Son of David. He knew the background of Jesus Christ. He knew who he was. He had heard. And here's this blind beggar saying to himself, this man has come to my own city. I must meet him. I must not let him pass by. I have a need that he can meet. I am blind. I cannot work. I beg. If I was to receive my sight, I could maybe find work. And begging would be finished. And maybe Bartimaeus was brought to that the roadside, or maybe he made his own way. Even though he was blind, he would have known every bump on the road. Sat down in the same spot. Had done it for years. He got up this morning and it was just going to be another begging day. It was going to be the last day that he would ever beg. It was going to be the last day that he would ever sit by the roadside, because Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he had an audience with Jesus of Nazareth, and Jesus of Nazareth changed his life for the rest of his life. Verse 43, and immediately he recovered his sight. And the thought that someone has given, if he was blind from birth and he had never seen a human face, when he received his sight, the first face that he saw was the face of Jesus Christ, the one who had healed him. What a thought. But the opposition that he encountered in verse 39, he cried out, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more. This man was not going to be silenced. He cried out all the more above the voices of the crowd, Son of David, have mercy on me. He would have cried it out louder than what he had done the first time. Son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't just get opposition from one individual, but many, and those who were in front rebuked him. Mark 10:48 says, "And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent." He was not going to be silenced. We see the persistence that he showed. He cried out all the more. Friends, don't let anything put you off from following Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus was not going to be put off by anybody. I don't know if he would have had many friends. I don't know if he had any family. He was a blind beggar. Maybe he lived a lonely life. And he was not going to be put off by anyone. Chapter 13, verse 24 of Luke says, "Strive to enter through the narrow door." Here is the Lord Jesus, who said, "I am the door." Bartimaeus wanted to meet Jesus Christ. And where Bartimaeus was and where Jesus was, there was a crowd. And part of this crowd was telling him to shut up, to be silent. The Lord does not want to be bothered with the likes of you. But it says, "And Jesus stopped. He heard this cry. He cried it all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' He said, 'Lord, let me recover my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well.'" So the persistence that he showed and the Savior that he met. "What do you want me to do for you?" And the Lord Jesus could see that as well as this man having a physical problem, we can see that there was something spiritual too, because Jesus said, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." This man just didn't have physical sight given to him, but spiritual sight. "Your faith has made you well." This man went from darkness to light, as we do spiritually. We pass from death unto life. We pass from darkness into light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." If you're blind, you're in the dark. If you're spiritually blind, you're in the dark, a spiritual darkness. And Bartimaeus made the transition from darkness to light, from blindness to sight. "Was blind, but now I see." He went from sitting to walking and following Christ. We meet him as he drew near to Jericho. A blind man was sitting by the roadside. But verse 43 says, "And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him." He became part of the crowd. He followed Christ, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. They had witnessed a miracle. Mark 10, verses 46 and 52. Sitting by the roadside, he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. What a day this was for Bartimaeus. What a day. We never read of him again. Shortly after this was the cross. I wonder, did he follow Christ to Jerusalem? Did he witness all the events there? Did he see? Did he physically see this Jesus of Nazareth that had healed him in Jericho? Did he see him dying upon the cross, the battered and bruised, unrecognizable Jesus Christ, as we looked at in the verses last week where Jesus knew the details of his death? When it says that he followed him, did he follow him to Jerusalem and witness those things? Then did he come back to Jericho and live the remainder of his life, but a changed man? And it's nice to just read the three accounts. I'm in the Gospels, whenever you read of a person like this, he'll be or she'll be mentioned maybe in Matthew and Mark. And Mark adds this little piece of information. Chapter 10 and verse 50, that when the Lord called him, it says, and throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Now, I wonder, is there any significance in that? Is it just a piece of useless information that Mark gives? Is there a wee spiritual thought in that? And throwing off his cloak. This cloak would have been the loose outer robe which covered his tunic, the long robes that people wore in those days. And if they wanted to run, they would have had to gather up that cloak to stop themselves tripping over it. It would have had to have been gathered up. He was in haste and he desired to disengage himself from every impediment in his eagerness to approach Jesus. This was something that was going to hold him back, and he got rid of it. Now, I think there's a thought there that this is why this is included. There's a spiritual lesson here. There's maybe a cloak in your life that's hindering you from coming to Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12 puts it like this. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which besets us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Is there a cloak in your life that hinders you from coming to Christ, sinner friend? Professing Christian, are there any cloaks in your life that's hindering you from following Christ with everything you've got? And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Let's examine our lives. Let's examine our hearts. Let's examine to see if we have any cloaks hindering you from giving your all to Christ. Yes, we see Bartimaeus as one who is blind, one who is begging, but we see him one who is believing. Bartimaeus. And so may the Lord bless these thoughts to your hearts. And Jesus is saying to someone this morning, what do you want me to do for you? And may this be the response of your heart. Lord,
Let me recover my sight. Let me see. Let me see. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts. And we're going to stand and sing the hymn that is in our congregational praise hymn book. And it'll be to a familiar tune. We've sung it before. And there's the last line of each verse. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.